new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome in to the Illini Inquirer podcast, and we are going to talk some basketball today. We got Derek Piper in the house. Derek, why aren't you breaking news right now? Like, that's what the people want. The waiting, as Tom Petty said, is the hardest part. But we're going to talk about Ray J. Dennis taking visits, and not just Illinois. We're going to talk about a big week for Terrence Shannon, Coleman Hawkins, and Illinois basketball with the NBA Draft Combine. I am crossing my fingers, toes, and everything I can so the Bulls can get a high draft pick and not hand it to the Orlando Magic and not be able to do anything this offseason. The NBA draft lottery is tonight, Tuesday. But welcome in, Derek Piper. Got away with the family for a little bit, as did I. How are you, man?
It's good to be back. Doing well. Enjoyed the vacation. We went out west to Phoenix area. And then this past weekend, I was down in Nashville for my brother's PhD graduation.
Congrats, Chris. So,
yeah, thanks.
That's awesome.
It's been nice. And, yeah, the people are hungry. I get it. They want to see Ray J. Dennis pop. And he's taking his time exploring some options, which we'll get into. And I fully understand personally. But, yeah, and then you also got the combine going on. It's interesting to see some of these numbers that are coming out the first day. And what Coleman Hawkins and Terrence Shannon are going to do. It's a big impact. It could be a big swing, especially if it's two one way or the other on what this roster is going to look like for Illinois.
I get the angst. I truly do. And I get why people want, and we've learned this with our subscriber survey going on right now, they want any nugget, any rumor, no matter the veracity of it, they want any kind of nuggets to know whether their team is going to be a Big Ten contender, Derek, or whether they're going to be scratching to make the NCAA tournament. And that's the realm of possibilities here. If Coleman Hawkins, Terrence Shannon both came back and Ray J. Dennis is on this team, I don't think this team's the favorite to win the Big Ten. I think Michigan State or Purdue probably is that. But they could be one of those teams that gets votes to potentially win the Big Ten because they're old, they're talented, there's some continuity, they've upgraded areas they've needed to upgrade shooting and point guard. But if Illinois doesn't get any of those guys, we're talking about a team that could finish in the bottom half of the Big Ten based on what else they would do. Plus, are they going to go get a big man if Coleman Hawkins ends up staying in the draft? There's so much riding on these next couple weeks for Brad Underwood and Illinois basketball.
At least we know we're going to have some answers in the next few weeks because you got the May 31st deadline of Coleman and Terrence have to make their decisions whether to stay in the draft or come back. But like you said, they may not be the favorite if they were to have all those dominoes fall their way, but because you have Michigan State returning a lot, Purdue is still going to be a really good regular season team for sure. We'll see. Zach E's got to officially come back too to make that come through for them. But like, they could have a chance to really challenge for a league title with those type of pieces coming together. I think you can make an argument they should be a ranked team going into the year with Shannon, Hawkins, Ray J. The fact that you have so many rotation pieces and a lot of depth and a lot more experience. You'd be one of the most experienced teams definitely in the Big Ten, if not out there at the high major level for sure. So if it is kind of a split, if you get Terrence back and Coleman's in the draft, I think it's still – and if you do add Reggie Dennis because you don't have a point guard otherwise and how that would play out. I know everybody wants to know, like, what's the plan B? What if Reggie doesn't come and who's the next point guard? I can tell you right now, I think there would be a significant fall off, at least based on what we know right now, between getting a guy like that and then trying to figure out who's still available in the middle of May. But yeah, there is a lot at stake. And Brad wants to win every year, like we've talked about. I think it's been twofold in that you make some of these earlier additions, it gives you an insurance policy and has some pieces to where if Terrence and Coleman stay in the draft, you got some answers on the roster still. But I think the primary goal, and I think a lot of what has gone into it, is that these are really good role players. If we can get our stars back, then we've got a pretty complete team. So that's what you're hoping for, and we'll see what goes through the rest of this week with the combine. And I would imagine Ray J. Dennis doesn't extend it out too much longer. I think that we'll probably have a decision here within the month at the very least.
Yeah, the way I look at this roster right now, Derek, it's built like maybe what Nebraska was last year, if nothing else happens, right? Where you have a Marcus Domask, who's like a Sam Griesel. You have a Quincy Guerriere, who could be like a Derek Wall. Not the same player, not the same, but just a high-floor guy who's a good player, can be a good starter in the Big Ten. You got some young guys that need to take a big step up, right? And Ty Rogers, Sincere Harris, Dane Danger. You have a team that can be competitive, but maybe not a team you can count on with a high ceiling. These guys we're talking about are high-ceiling guys. And before we get into Shannon and Hawkins, let's focus on Ray J. Dennis, the Toledo transfer guard. We've been wondering most of the offseason, who are they waiting for? It's obviously Ray J. Dennis, the MAC player of the year. And this hasn't happened quickly. It has not happened as quickly as Illini fans wanted. And now he's taking visits. You reported last week, and he did, took a visit to Illinois. Then he's followed up with visits to Michigan, as well as Baylor. And it sounds like Kansas State could still get a visit here as well. What does that mean for Illinois, Derek, that he's visiting elsewhere?
I think that, yeah, he's open to at least hearing some people out. And when you're a highly coveted free agent, why wouldn't you? I think when you compare it to the NBA or the MLB, like when you got someone that's one of the top players in the market, they don't necessarily just sit down with one team. Even if in their minds, like, I'm probably going to end up there, they usually visit other places, hear out other offers and that whole kind of deal. So I know that has given some angst to Illini fans, but it kind of makes sense from a business standpoint. If you think about trying to get the best package NIL-wise, if you introduce competition, that can obviously increase your price tag. But it might just be a guy that is trying to make sure that he's doing the right thing wherever he goes. Like, he's trying to do his homework. He's going to campuses, getting the feel, meeting with the people face-to-face. Like, the fact that when he came to Champaign last week, that was the first time he got a chance to really meet with Brad Underwood and Tim Anderson and everybody on staff and be on campus. So to do that with Baylor is totally understandable. Like, Baylor in the last few weeks has been rumored as the biggest threat to Illinois. I think the Michigan visit was a little surprising to a lot of people because I hadn't heard them brought up here a lot recently. I think on the front end, when he was first rumored to be going to the portal, Michigan was a team that was said to be probably in contention for him and at least wanted him a lot. Now, since then, they had landed Caleb Love and Doug McDaniels obviously back. They lost Hunter. So that one would be, I think, an odd fit, at least the way I look at the roster construction. And I think that Illinois is in a better position to win, especially if they get Terrence and at least Terrence back. If you get Coleman back as well, that would really help you too. But I think it's just a situation where he's going through the process. I still personally view Illinois as being in the driver's seat, and we'll see how this thing really falls the rest of the way. Like you mentioned, I think if he does take that K-State visit, what does that look like? Illinois hasn't used an official. He came here on an unofficial. Is it out of the realm of possibility he could take an official to Illinois? I don't think it is. So we'll have to see how this thing plays out. But yeah, in the meantime, it's going to make people wonder, hey, is Illinois on as solid ground as we thought? Are they getting surprised by some of this stuff? I don't necessarily think – I think outside of the Michigan visit, I don't think anything has necessarily been surprising.
This is good competition. I mean, no matter what you think of Juwan Howard, Michigan has produced some NBA talent, and he's put together some NCAA tournament runs. Baylor, I mean, the guards they've had there recently, Davion Mitchell, Jared Butler, Kendall Brown, Jeremy Sohan, a little bit different of a guard, but obviously they've had a lot of success. They had the guy transfer out, LJ Crier, got another lottery pick likely this year, and they win a lot, and they're a national contender. And then you got Kansas State. I mean, Jerome Tang couldn't probably have a better first year. We saw what Marquise Noel did. Why do you think Illinois' sell can stack up with those other programs, Derek?
You do have the unique factor of the home state for sure. That is something that is different than some of these other options. I think that Baylor, they've lost, like you said, you lose Cryer, you lose Keontae George, the draft. Adam Flagger right now still has a decision to make, but I know they've kind of been operating through the offseason as if he's going to stay in. He's already 23 years old, kind of that early to mid second round pick, so he could potentially still want to come back potentially. But otherwise, Baylor has a lot to sell as far as a point guard goes. Like, that's what Illinois is really hanging their hat on, I think, as far as one of their biggest things is that they have so much opportunity for Reggie to come in and have the ball in his hands and to have good pieces around him, too, to be able to set those guys up. And I wouldn't be surprised if part of this with Ray J is he wants to see really what Terrence Shannon's going to do or what Coleman Hawkins is going to do. Like, I think that that matters in terms of what the situation looks like at Illinois, too. Kansas State, like you mentioned with Baylor, like Baylor has a lot to sell. Like Davion Mitchell, Jared Butler were first-round picks in that team that won the national title. You got Keontae George in there right now. You got Adam Flagler, who had a great year. LJ Cryer shot the cover off of it and was one of the top transfers out there in the market. They've done really well with guards, and it's been a great program for Scott Drew. Kansas State just went to the Elite Eight. Marquise Newell was one of the top players of the tournament. And they need somebody else like that. Now, it was interesting kind of reading and hearing kind of what was going on with Max Asemus and his recruitment. And you wondered – now, he went to Texas, and Texas really wanted him. But you wondered kind of, was Kansas State okay with what they already had? Did they not go all the way full bore on that one? So what's their situation look like kind of sitting there at point guard too? I just think that for Ray J, it makes most sense for him to go somewhere where – he's the legit point guard. He's going to get a lot of opportunities with the ball in his hands. I just think Illinois fits everything, whether it's NIL, opportunity at point guard, close to home, all that kind of deal. I think Illinois just checks every box. But I think Baylor checks a lot of boxes too. And if you wanted to go play for Jerome Tang, Kansas State, I couldn't argue with that either.
Yeah, if you're the pessimist, Eric, it's what is the backup plan? Is there a backup plan? I saw Jeremiah Williams enter the portal. We know Illinois had interest in him last year. He transferred from Temple to Iowa State, and then he didn't play. That's injury risk. That's, you know, hasn't done it at the high major level yet. That's a significant drop-off, right, from what we're talking about with Ray J. Dennis. But if I want to be an optimist, I could sit there and say, Illinois read these situations pretty well in the past, right? Like, they read Terrence pretty well, and whether you believe Hunter Dickinson and they got the break with Michigan admissions or not, I don't know. Like, maybe you can comment on that. Matthew Meyer, we knew they were kind of waiting on him last year, and they were patient, and they seemed to read that one right. Domas, Guerriere, they closed really quickly on those guys. So I guess that's my – if you want to be a pessimist, that's why you look at it. If you want to be an optimist, that's the way you can look at it.
No, I think that's well put, and the side of who else would be there, yeah, like you said, Williams is somebody that they liked a decent amount. And actually, they were kind of disappointed that when he went to Iowa State last offseason. They thought him to be a good combo guard. That's, could play some on the point, but even somebody that could be kind of that bigger guard that could facilitate, and they liked his game. And if that was something you had to pivot to, it's better than nothing. And I still think there's going to be some more options that potentially pop out there when you have the fact that the May 11th deadline doesn't necessarily apply to grad transfers. Grad transfers could still enter the portal, be immediately eligible. So whether that's people that are going through the draft, I said this on the radio show yesterday, I don't necessarily know of a bunch of point guards or even one point guard that's currently in the draft that would be a grad transfer. I haven't done my homework too much on that, but I haven't necessarily heard a lot of, hey, this is the next guy. So I do think that maybe you put the word out there. If Illinois were to miss on Ray J, like, they have a huge opportunity still at point guard. You could have some people at other places that if you weren't thinking about going to the portal, hey, they late decide, I'd like to see what this thing looks like. And so there could still be some more moving pieces in the case that you don't get him. But like you said, they've also done a good job of knowing certain situations. It's been clear that, like, they really haven't been that involved with other point guard options. Like, they did like Ace Baldwin, who was out of VCU, the coaching changed. Chester Frazier had some connections there. I think if you would have gotten Ace Baldwin, it would have taken you out of the mix for Ray J. Dennis, and you couldn't have gone wrong with either one of those because those are two very, very good options. But outside of Ace Baldwin, like, they haven't dabbled that a whole lot with other point guards. So I think that tells you how they felt about their chances to potentially get Ray J. Dennis. Now, it's not done until it's done. Like, right. You could say, hey, we think we're going to be the favorite. We think we have the first chance, the first crack to get this thing done. It doesn't necessarily guarantee you anything. So we kind of saw that, not to say that they held out, but like I remember when TJ Holyfield went in the portal, they thought he was theirs to lose, and they lost him, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, this is a Tim Anderson recruit. Tim Anderson has a pretty high hit rate, and Illinois has a lot to sell, and they've kind of waited this thing out. Now it's here, but they got to get it done. I do think just the urgency of like what else is going to happen if they don't get him. They've got to do whatever it takes, even if it is quote unquote overpaying in the NIL wise or whatever. They got to get this thing done.
Great stuff.
Hello, everyone. It's Micah Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Derek, let's go to the NBA Draft Combine. Matthew Meyer's been in the G League Combine, did not get invited to the Draft Combine. I think Matthew Meyer's got to work his way through the G League to get a chance. He can shoot. We know he can do that. At times, he's streaky. But I think he can have a chance because he's a long shooter. But Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins are potential draft picks where this week could have a significant impact. I don't know if it's just the drills they're going through this week. But the 5-on-5 scrimmage, I think, is going to be really important for them. But neither is really a guaranteed, you know, high draft pick in the second round or a first round draft pick. So they have some really interesting decisions to make. But what do you think Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins have to show this week to help themselves solidify themselves as draft picks?
I think for Coleman, the three-point shooting is really something that the NBA is looking for. Now, when you get into five-on-five type stuff, I'm sure decision-making with the ball and how that works is something that you look at his turnover rate, you look at the fact that he had six giveaways in that last tournament game against Arkansas. You kind of want to see him just be more of a steadying presence offensively, because you don't want a guy that, if he's in your second rotation, is going to take too many gambles and be a really volatile player in that sense. I think defensively they're going to like what he shows because he's so versatile. And I know his athletic testing yesterday wasn't the greatest, but he does have the length and ability to switch on to people and just guard multiple spots. So that's a big asset for him. I think it's his shooting is probably the first thing that they want to look for and see if he can be. Because when I think about Coleman, that I think he's the most valuable if he's a pick-and-pop big man. I think if he can play kind of pick-and-pop, if he can short roll and secondary create, that's really – what you'd like to see the most. And even if it is, because sometimes you get in certain situations where you go to the NBA, you're not the first, second, maybe even third option offensively. So just someone that can spot up, shoot in case the defense collapses on somebody, just to not be a big liability. Now you look at his three-point numbers, career 28% three-point shooter in college, same percentage that he shot this past year. Catch and shoot numbers weren't really ideal, especially even on open ones. He's got to be able to make those, knock those down. And personally, I'm interested in your thoughts on this. Like, when you have the star drill or the three-point shoot, like, they're wide open threes. Yeah. Like, they're uncontested.
Listen, I saw RJ Melendez make like 20 threes in a row from the corner this year during warm-ups. It's completely different when it's unscripted. You might not have the best pass. You have a defense closing out on you. That's why closeouts are so important, right? Because you get somebody running at you, it impacts your shot. So, that's nice. Those things are nice. I think the 5-on-5 is going to matter a lot more for those guys. But I do understand from their perspective, Derek, like Terrence Shannon, I think, could have been a heck of a lot better if he had a stable point guard situation, like a Ray J. Dennis with him. I think Coleman Hawkins could have really benefited from having somebody like Ray J. Dennis. And that's why if you get him on board before the May 31st deadline, that Coleman Hawkins and Terrence Shannon have to make a decision, I think that could make those Illinois' pitch even better, because it's like, okay, we will now set you up way better than we did last year with rolling with freshman guards.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it could really benefit both of those. Terrence, you look at some of his numbers, like he was a high level, one of the top in college basketball catch and shoot guys his last year at Texas Tech. Now playing more on the ball at Illinois, maybe didn't get as many of those opportunities. Now he still just didn't hit those at the highest of rates, but had to do a lot of stuff off the bounce to create his own shot. And it did show that his right hand needs to get better. I think that the teams will want to look at his ball handling. Not that he's going to be someone that's going to have to be super dynamic with the ball. I think for the most part, he's still primarily a straight line driver, an off ball wing that can be a catch and shoot. And then when he has the lane to drive, that he can do that. But assertiveness, consistency, those are things that were high and low for him at Illinois. And that's something that they probably want to look for too. Defensive engagement. There were times where I thought Terrence was a really good defender at Illinois, and other times where maybe he wasn't the best. So there's certain things there they want to probably see with Terrence. If UCLA, and I've wondered about this, like, because we've talked about it through the offseason, it seemed like Illinois thought there's at least a pretty darn good chance he's coming back. What happens if UCLA game Terrence Shannon shows up at the combine? Like, what if he's in the 5-on-5 just absolutely going nuclear?
We all thought he was a top 20 pick after that game, right?
Yeah. I mean, that could sway some things for sure. I still think that these NBA people are going to look at the full body of work and everything and probably not get too impressionable about especially wide open 3-point shot drills. But the 5-on-5 stuff, you're against guys that are in the same draft. So I think there is a lot to be said about, you know, how you compete in those type of things. But to go back to the mock drafts, like, Terrence in ESPN, The Athletic, is still a top 40 pick. I know he's right there on the 40 number for ESPN. The Athletic there is kind of in the mid-30s. And that's guaranteed money most times. That's a guaranteed contract. Again, you could get mocked. Like, Io was mocked late first round, and then he fell. So if Terrence were to fall, then it's a completely different situation. But if he were to show out well enough where he thought he was going in that range, that's really hard to turn down. If I were advising him, I've said it before, I'd tell him to go. If you're an early second round pick, for sure, go.
Totally agree. Totally agree. On the other hand, I think Coleman Hawkins has so much to gain if he came back for another year and performed well. And that's why I think Ray J. Dennis, part of this equation, would be probably pretty important for him. I think it is worth noting here, the May 11th transfer portal deadline is gone. So these guys are either going to the NBA or going to Illinois. I guess Terrence could be a grad transfer if he wanted to. He just graduated. I think he graduated. So yeah, that could still be in play. So, Terrence loves Illinois. He loved his year here. So Derek, I am going to put you on the spot here. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1, they're definitely gone. 10, they're definitely coming back. Coleman Hawkins, where would you rank him?
I would say probably a 3 right now. I think he wants to stay in the draft. Now, look, a lot of guys that go through this process want to stay in the draft.
I think Io did after his freshman and sophomore years. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So you got to also balance that with what's the situation look like. I know his dad, Rod, has talked a lot about, hey, we want to be smart about this. We want to set Coleman up the best in terms of not putting him in a situation where he goes to the draft. And even if he's picked, like if he doesn't get a two-way, then all of a sudden you're in the G League and versus what you could have done. Because I agree with you. I think there's a lot to gain if he were to come back for another year.
And I will say this, Derek. I think Coleman, is smart about this. I think his dad is really good influence on him. That they know what this process is. Rod, if people don't know, is a really good basketball player, played professionally. So I think they're going to go through a smart process. And whether they get drafted as high as they want or not, if they stay in the draft, I think they're going to know the risk rewards of all of those. So I think there's going to be a well thought out process by the Hawkins.
I agree with that. I think 3 or 4 is probably where I'd stand. I think there's still a chance because as far as I understand, I think that right now they've just kind of let Coleman go through things. They've let him do a handful of workouts with teams. They've let him just prepare as best as he possibly can for the combine. And then when all of that is done, you sit down and really try to evaluate where you're going to be slotted. So maybe it's possible that he goes through all of this and then he's not where he ultimately wants to stand on draft boards and what the feedback is. And maybe Illinois has Ray J. Dennis on board and he sees all the pieces, because Coleman came out and said, if I were to come back to Illinois, I want to be on a team that's old and I want to be on a team that can do some real winning. And I think that Ray J., that would be both of them.
If they have Ray J., Marcus Domas, Quincy Guerriere, and Justin Harmon, along with Ty Rogerson, Sear Harris, guys that you don't think have a lot of BS to them, I think Coleman would be like, I could play with that team. I can get better with that team. Yeah. He was frustrated last year with the freshman guards, with the drama that happened last year. I think that's a roster he would like to play for. So I think Brad Underwood has at least given him more to think about. Terrence Shannon, 1 to 10. 1 being he's definitely gone. 10, he's definitely back. Where you got him?
This one's tough too. A 6 or 7, I think, is just – I'm mostly gauging how Illinois has been operating, honestly. I think that the way Illinois has been approaching this, we talked about what is their pursuits look like at point guard. They haven't really gotten that involved with big guards, wings, and just kind of the vibe that – I've heard around the Illinois camp is that they think that there's a pretty good chance, higher than 50% chance, that Terrence comes back. Now, this is still subject to change. Just like Coleman could be leaning draft and then see the feedback isn't there and come back, and Terrence could say, or they think he's coming back, and then he does well enough at the combine and he's told top 40 pick and he goes. I still keep it in the Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, in 2 weeks, we could sit here and be like, it should have been flipped. Because you and I have kind of been of the realm. I think it should be 7 for Coleman Hawkins and a 3 for Terrence Shannon.
Yes.
But just based on how Illinois is operating, that they're looking at front court options in the transfer portal, and they're not even looking at wings. They're not connected to any wings. Now, maybe that can change, but you got to kind of mirror the logic of it, from the outside perspective, and then what you hear and how Illinois is operating.
Yeah, and that does make it a little difficult. And it wouldn't be fun if I just gave you 50-50 for both of those. So I got to pick a side.
Appreciate
on this.
That,
I keep in the back of my mind just the fact that Terrence came to Illinois with the idea he was going to be here for 1 year and that he was going to have a chance to boost his NBA stock, be draft ready, and go. And that's not to say that as you go through your year, you kind of really evaluate, number one, how much you like the place you just went to. I think he likes Illinois a lot. And then what's the risk reward of coming back to Illinois for another year? Number one, he could get a lot of NIL money. I think it'd be exceeding a two-way contract. You get two-way, you're talking $500,000 non-guaranteed deal. I think Illinois with an NIL deal could exceed that. As far as the guaranteed contract, if you got something similar to Iota Sumo, I don't think, number one, could Illinois compete with a $1.2 million a year? Probably not. Even if they could, why wouldn't you just go to the NBA if you have that guaranteed contract? So in the back of my mind, I've kept that. And also just the mock drafts, where he's at. And I put the most stock in Sam Vecenie. I think he does the best job at this. Personally, that's the way I kind of look at this. Now, he had Io as a late first-round pick. He slipped. But if he's where Sam Vecenie has him in the mid-30s, like I said, I think Terrence should go. And maybe he ultimately would if he was given any kind of guarantee or any kind of assertion that that's where he would land. But I got to balance that with, I've heard there's a pretty good chance he's coming back, and I think that is something that's got to continue to play out.
Yeah, but Sam Vecenie lives in Australia, so what does he know, Derek? That's for our VIP members. Deep cut right there. Yeah, it's fascinating. These are fascinating decisions. These aren't easy decisions. Iota Sumo, his junior year, was an easy decision. I thought Kofi Coburn was a complicated decision. Obviously did not end up the way he wanted it to, even though he's making a career playing basketball, making good money. These are more complicated decisions where it's difficult. And it has profound implications, not only on Illinois basketball, but their financial long term. And the NIL aspect of this, Terrence Shannon 3 years ago, 4 years ago, had no reason to come back. Coleman Hawkins might have no reason to come back. That's one of the great things about NIL now, Derek, is we get these guys coming back, whether it's football, basketball, and these guys, if you believe in it altruistically, get closer to a degree too, right? So if you really believe in that, I think that's the power of NIL here.
I fully agree. I know that it drives some people crazy, just all the shifting parts and pieces and trying to keep players satisfied when you have the portal and you have the NIL too. But it's putting college basketball in a position to have the most talent you possibly can in the game. So to be able to command back like a Terrence Shannon, like you said, to have Drew Timmy go back to Gonzaga last year, to have Oscar Tshiebwe stay in college basketball, like Hunter Dickinson is another one that might probably just say, hey, I'm going pro. I need to make money. Now he's going to get, what, $2 million to go to Kansas? So there's no doubt that these opportunities give the viewer the best chance to see the most talent in the game. It gives the players a chance to make a good living and just support their family, support their own situation while they're playing basketball and being compensated for obviously all the value that they have to these programs that make buku dollars.
Yeah.
A chance to, for like a guy like Coleman, another year at Illinois would be getting a degree. So that all wraps into one. And I think that sense, while it does create some madness in other senses, it does help the product and just what the fans get to see too.
Yeah. And I think Terrence, just like Coleman, I think he's going to have a very thorough, well thought out process in making this decision.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent Island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Derek, we haven't talked much prep recruiting here recently. And I think the last time we were on the pod and we had a week off because vacations and things, Cole Serta is off the board. Micah Shrewsbury, another win over Brad Underwood here, now at Notre Dame, gets the sharpshooter out of Bloomington Central Catholic. I remember when Illinois offered, people were like, do we want him? And then towards the end, people were like, oh, we missed him. How do we miss him? That he fits well with Micah Shrewsbury. I think that's a great marriage. Makes a lot of sense. But for Illinois, it was a chance to get an in-state shooter. And what was your reaction to that?
It's a really nice get from Notre Dame, and Shrewsbury got in early, offered before Illinois did, obviously back when he was at Penn State during the high school season. And the fact of he had Andrew Funk, he had Seth Lundy. I mean, those two were the top three-point shooters in the Big Ten. He had the two top three-point shooters in the Big Ten this year on his roster. So just the style of play, how he draws stuff up to get Andrew Funk shots, and just the way they are able to really – put three-point shooters in a great position. I think that sell obviously had to stand out to Cole. And then going to Notre Dame, you have the fact that Cole started goes to Bloomington Central Catholic. You got Notre Dame factors that, number one, it's not as far away as Penn State. That's an entirely different decision where you have family that can get to games and that whole kind of deal. And then also, I mean, being a Catholic school had to help them a little bit, I think, too, based on what I'd heard. So they pushed. They recruited him really heavy and hard, and they wanted him bad, and they got it done. Illinois' standpoint, they have talked a lot about wanting shooting and prep recruiting, and especially in 24, and highlighted Cole and had Marais Johnson going out there and recruiting Cole. Like I remember talking to Marais at one of the last home games. Like, man, I'm hitting him up almost every day. So I don't think that happens if Illinois doesn't legitimately want him. And as far as I heard, like, Illinois was trying to – they knew that Cole was getting close to the decision, and they were pushing. Like, I think that they would have taken him. I think they would have been fine with taking his commitment and everything. Like, was there the did he reach the IO level of like, there's no doubt we got to get this guy type of thing? No, I think he's a little different, but I think they definitely were okay with taking him. They turned up the heat as much as they could, but Notre Dame was just a place that Cole wanted to go. So I don't think it's a backbreaker. You can go out and get a shooter, whether that's via the portal, whether that's looking throughout this class. I know they're expanding now because there's really not a whole lot outside of the state. Now you got Merez committed, James committed. I know he's left. Noyes is committed. Cole, they got to look outside the state now to see what it looks like. But also, we've talked about before, I don't know how big their high school classes are going to be going forward. So we got to see how that goes.
Yeah, it's really been a big shift, because at this time of year, usually we'd be talking about the AAU circuit and who are these targets and who's going to be Illinois star in 2-3 years from now. There's way less of a focus for us on that, and that means because there's a less of a focus for some of these college coaches. You still got to recruit preps, and I think Brad Underwood, I think ideally would like half his roster to be guys that he recruited prep-wise, but the more and more you go into this, and as you lose a Jaden Epps and Sky Clark within the first year of being on campus, you lose the 2021 class, most of it, two of the three guys within 2 years. It's like, well, is that the best way to build a team? But what do you expect the 2024 focus to be? I've seen a lot of 25 offers, including, while we're getting old, Kyan Anthony, Carmelo Anthony's son, gets an offer from Illinois, four-star guard out of New York. But what do you expect their prep recruiting focus to be, whether it's 24, 25, and beyond?
They've expanded the net, so to speak. You go out in the live periods in the spring and get a chance to see these guys. So you've seen a handful of offers. You look at wings, you look at some fours and whatnot. I think as you kind of forecast this thing forward, we've talked about, I think Perez probably is a primary five in college. You look at that, you look at Amani can play the five, especially early on. It's kind of that small ball five, switches to the four as he gets more ability to shoot the ball from the outside. So you definitely need to reload on wings for sure. They're going to look at some guards too, and they've been able to go out there and identify some different guys. So it'll really heat up once we get to June. You get the team back on campus. That's usually a big time to get people to come on visits and really to see who they're really prioritizing. So at this point, really the focus has been primarily on the portal and these decisions within the team with Coleman and Terrence. I'd say they haven't gone out there and scouted a lot of people, because they have as far as the 24 and 25 classes go. It's just a different – and I know even for people who are used to consuming recruiting info, like, it's just changed where usually at this time I could give you a list of like 15 guys and break it all down tier one, tier two. It's just slowed down as far as the process for high school recruiting, and that it is a little bit later developing. And then also there's not as much of an interest to take five-man classes anymore. So I think it still kind of sets up to be a smaller class for Illinois in 24. Now you are going to lose a lot, because you're going to have so many guys that are 1 year. You got some 1 year rentals. You got some guys that, you know, if Terrence comes back, obviously he's not going to stay another year. He couldn't. If Coleman comes back, he's not going to stay another year. That whole type of deal. So you're going to be turning over your roster. I just think that there's still a decent interest in going to the portal and staying old and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I want to get into this. If any of our live YouTube listeners, watchers have any comments, questions, we'll get to those before we get out of here. We'll wrap up in a few minutes here, Derek. But you get these guys coming on campus in June, but you do have a couple guys that have obviously stayed on this roster, only four of them so far that we know of: Dane Danger, Luke Goody, Sincere Harris, Ty Rogers. I want to ask you about the two rising sophomores, Sincere Harris and Ty Rogers. What do you think is a realistic expectation for progress in year two for those two guys?
With Ty, it's just, I think that you'd love to see the jump shot come along. Like that's something that they know is the biggest hole in his game. It's really the difference between when he can be a legit NBA prospect and not. What's reasonable expectation? I don't think he's going to come out and shoot 35% from three on like five attempts a game, that whole kind of deal. It's just to be able to have a potential to maybe knock down an occasional mid-range jump shot when guys sink so far into the lane, knowing that, I mean, he really got to the bucket off the bounce really well late in the year. So I think people are going to play his drives for sure and understand he's going to get there for the most part. The jump shot is something that I think it ties into his free throw shooting. Even if The only progress of his shot this offseason is, hey, he's not a 50% free throw shooter anymore. He's a 65, close to 70. That would be a nice development for someone that can draw a lot of contact. The left hand needs to develop as far as his finishing goes, because we saw him really favor that right hand when he's on the left side, and he kind of contorts his body and everything. It's a harder shot to get blocked when you can go left hand. I think that there's, and it makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't the next level, and even, you know, obviously trying to help your team being able to finish at the highest rate, you want to use the left hand too. And just maybe have him come into more of an assertive role, and just understand you're in a bigger role now. You're kind of a veteran. I know you're going to have some older pieces around you, but don't be afraid to be vocal in a huddle. Don't be afraid to take charge here and whatnot. So I really liked how he progressed late in the year. I know obviously everybody did. I think he can still play a little bit of point forward at times. I think there's a value to do that, even if you do get a Reggie Dennis, just to give someone a different look and have him body some people up. But they've worked on the jump shot already. It's been a big focus in the spring. I know they like, at least so far, some of the signs as they kind of rework some things within his mechanics. But if you can just get a little bit of progress on that front, especially the free throw line and the left hand at the rim, that'd be really good for Ty.
Sincere. I think for me, it's slowing the game down, right? Like, just, you know, I love his attack mode, and there's a fine line. You don't want to take that out. You don't want to take that dog out of Sincere Harris. But especially on the offensive end, it's slow things down. Keep your eyes open. I just think that's the next step for him, and that's why playing is significant for him going into this year. He got that experience. He learned from that, and I think that's next, because we know defensively he can be one of the best in the Big Ten. Like, he can make a really good career out of that, but to be a starter, to be a guy that eventually can be one of the best players on this team, that processing offensively, like, I know he's got to shoot a little bit better. I know all those things. Maybe that can come with time. But for me, it's the decision making when he's got the ball in his hands.
Absolutely. Being able to shift down a little bit, like ratchet all the way up to 100 when you're on defense, full court press. But when you're about to drive a lane and finish, or just try to process, when should I take it to the basket? When should I pull out here and pass it off? Because there were some times where a little overly aggressive offensively, and kind of hurt you at times. But I think that, yeah, processing is something that it just is kind of a natural progression. As guys settle into college basketball, the game does slow down. They see things. They know what to expect. And I think as he has that happen, and also as he gets stronger, I think a big thing is bulking him up a little bit more in the weight room. Is, yep, you'll probably see him finish a little bit more efficiently at the basket. And that's just something they gotta work on, contested finishes. Now, he was able to go up and transition, have some slams where earlier in the year he was struggling with that. I think he can obviously build on that, because he's a good athlete. He's a twitchy, explosive athlete. It's just when he gets a body at the rim, when he is contested, can he finish that? Three-point shooting, continuing to build on that. He had some moments where he hit threes, and then Big Ten play really cooled off. And then, it's just a guy that is just trying to feel out the game, understanding, and trying to – I love his dog. I love the dog. I love the 100 miles an hour, especially when you want to press that thing and put pressure on people, because he made some good players uncomfortable. Like, Tiger Campbell was uncomfortable when Sincere Harris was guarding him.
The Texas guys too, right? Yeah. I think they Marcus were Carr. Pretty uncomfortable. The Virginia point guard, who sadly had one of the worst turnovers I've seen in NCAA tournament game. Yeah, he did that. Like, I think the saying always goes with coaches, I'd rather have a whoa guy than a go guy. Like, I'd rather have a guy I have to calm down rather than a guy I got to kick in the gear. And I think that's the case. And now it's just about building on what was a promising freshman year. Last one for you before we get to these questions and comments real quick. Three freshmen, Nicolo Moretti, Amani Hansberry, Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn. Just quickly, Derek, don't have to go too deep into this. Like, What is your expectations for this freshman class?
It's got a chance to help you. It will probably depend on what happens with Terrence and Coleman and obviously Ray J. Like, you think about the backcourt, you would hope to have a true point guard, because I think outside of that, I mean, Moretti is, but I don't think he's going to be entirely ready to come in and give you a solid chunk of minutes. In spots, could he go out there as a redshirt freshman and help you a little bit. We'll see. I think that his strength is a big thing that they've focused on too, because he's a slight stature. And I think especially defensively, you worry about how he'd be able to hold up. And then we just haven't seen him in the college game go out there and pick and rolls and process and that whole kind of thing. From his FIBA stuff and watching him, he's got good vision. He's got an ability to shoot it a little bit. So just his progression forward is important. But if you get Ray J, you kind of calm down kind of the urgency to get him on the floor. Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn, I think you find somewhat of a role for him because you want to keep him happy. Honestly, you want to hope to keep him for a few years, and it's a guy that is talented. Like, he's got an ability to shoot it. He's got an ability to make some plays off the dribble. I know Brad's talked a lot about he's a guy that, especially as he progresses, is someone they think that can make some good decisions with the ball in his hands, and he's a really good athlete. Explosive. Like, I think that defensively, if he buys in, he could be pretty impactful at that end, and then being able to be a little bit of a scoring punch for you will help. Obviously, he'll be in contention with a Justin Harmon type, Sincere Harris as well, how that plays out. And then Amani, I think that Coleman's decision will play a lot into how much Amani's role is going to expand or then obviously get tougher if Coleman comes back. And not to say it's – we've talked about it. They would probably still want a big man if Coleman doesn't return. But if he's not back, I think that Amani's got a chance to really crack a rotation and be someone that – I think he's going to be an energy guy. I think he's going to be someone that is going to rebound and be physical and that whole kind of thing. And then offensively, it's just how does – if he has a jump shot, can he at least – establish that, or is he mostly going to play, which I wouldn't be surprised, he mostly plays kind of that small ball five and does a little bit of facilitating from the perimeter, finishing inside if he can. But I like Amani a lot. I think that he's someone that you'll like his minutes when he's out there. He's going to play extremely hard.
Yeah, definitely a guy you want to build around, for sure. Him and Ty Rogers, Sincere Harris, that's the kind of guys I think Brad Underwood really likes. All right, let's get to a couple comments before we get out of here. Hey, the Field of 68, the second best basketball podcast on YouTube, they say, of us. What's up, Trev?
That couldn't be Trevor, could it?
What's up, man? Those guys do great work over there, of course. Apparently, we're doing this podcast. It's been reported that Ray J. Dennis is visiting Utah now. This guy is getting across the country right now. That's a good Utah program. I don't know how concerned you'd be about that one if you're Illinois. When you got Baylor and Michigan, some of these other programs. But it's, as we said at the beginning of the podcast, he's just checking out his options, man. This is his time to be wined and dined and to find out his best fit for the best leaping point to the NBA. So I don't fault the kid.
I don't fault him. I did not see Utah as a team that he was going to visit. Is he throwing up smoke screens? I don't know. But Utah's very pretty. Like, I was out in Arizona. I think you wanted to go see some West Coast mountains.
Haven't checked that state off my list yet, Utah. But I hear if you're a hiker, if you love the outdoors, that's definitely a place to check out.
Yeah. I don't know what Utah's setup is, like NIL-wise. It is a solid program. I'd be surprised if he goes there. I still think that, as far as I can tell, it's most likely going to come down to Illinois and Baylor, unless something just completely changes down the stretch of this thing. But that's a similar one to even more sense of kind of outside the box than Michigan. I'm not sure. I don't have honestly a ton to say on that, other than, like you said, he's going through the process. He's hearing some people out.
I had to look this up. Larry K, Coach K, is gone from Utah. It's Craig Smith, who was at Utah State before that. Mark Madsen came in, had a great couple years now at Cal. Craig Smith is 14-26 during Pac-12 play. I don't feel that threatened. It's just interesting he's visiting there.
Yeah.
Chris asks, Illinois, or he says, Illinois is in big trouble if we don't get two of the three, Hawkins, Shannon, and Dennis back. If you get one of those guys, I feel like you can be an NCAA tournament team, scrappy, Wisconsin-like. If you get two of those, I feel really good about your team. I feel like you can be a top half Big Ten team for sure. If you get three of those guys, I feel like you can be a sneaky conference contender.
Definitely. If you were to get one of Shannon or Hawkins, you still have big questions at point guard. And would that really cap your upside? Unless you answered it, yeah, because then what's your alternative? Are you going to play a freshman in Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn at point guard? Are you going to play – I don't think that Ty is like a primary point guard option. I think he's more of a spot fill in that type of a guy at that spot. Justin Harmon's played on the ball, but his turnover rate was really high last year. So that would still be an issue. Now, would there be a – could you get, like, Shannon back and then pivot and get somebody other than Ray J at point guard and still be all right? Yeah, I think you could still have a lot of good pieces, and if the point guard is adequate enough, it could be a tournament team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no doubt, two of those back or two of those coming to your roster would really put you in a position to be competitive, be a top half Big Ten team, maybe even top five. And I think they could make some noise if it really clicks, because – I like someone like Guerrier and Damask and even Harmon, especially if he's off the bench. Like, I like how they've set this thing up,
yeah,
for sure.
And here we were talking about Ray J. Dennis earlier, and Cubs fan weighed in and said, does Illinois really check all his boxes if TSJ and Hawkins don't return? They're far from guarantees. Why would Dennis want to come play for a bottom half Big Ten team? Yeah, I mean, that could impact his choice. So it's interesting who makes the decision first here. Like, does it depend on each other? I think Illinois is going to have a good feel for what these decisions will be, but Illinois still has a sell of you're our guy. Like, you're our go-to guy. You have Domask, you have Guerriere. You got some young guys coming up who can be good. You got good depth around you. But you can be a star on a Big Ten team with good shooters, good pieces around you, and we can showcase you for the NBA, like the way we did with Io DeSumo. So I still think they'd have a really good sell, even if they can't guarantee that those guys are coming back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think it impacts, especially for someone that hasn't been to the tournament yet. I think that is of value to him. So there'd be concern of what happens if I go there and those guys aren't there and they don't go out and get a replacement wing or replacement big. Can I get to the tournament with that team? That wouldn't be a guarantee. So I think that it helps to have talented players around him. I do think, like you said, and we were talking about, some adequate role players in the mix that could be enough talent to let him do work. And obviously the usage rate would be through the roof. And I think the NIL, I mean, if you're not commanding or you're not committing NIL to Terrence coming back or to Hawkins back, like, why wouldn't that more so go to Ray J. Dennis? But yeah, I think it does play into the mix some. I think it's interesting because, like you were kind of hinting at, like, I think Terrence, for him to look at Illinois is the most attractive if they answer the point guard. Like, they need to get a point guard to set him up, to put him in the right position to really showcase himself. And then for Ray J., for Illinois to be the most attractive. And I think that part of the sell they've been pitching to him is like, hey, we think there's a pretty darn good chance that Terrence comes back, and you and him in the backcourt, there's a lot of talent there, and he can make you look better and vice versa. So I think it will be interesting to see how, you know, who's the first to say, okay, I'm going to be at Illinois next year, and how that plays out with the other dominoes. And that's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, we had one last question we'll get to, Derek, and I'm glad you sent it in because we wanted to bring this up, and I hadn't yet. If Hawkins doesn't come back, do you recruit a starting center or a backup to Dame? Berserker asks. Yeah, they've been linked, right? They've been looking to at some big men. So if Coleman Hawkins does not return, they seem prepared to pivot there. Like, how do you expect them to pivot if Hawkins stays or goes?
Yeah, even through this process, I think when they thought for a while it seemed like Hawkins was coming back, they still were interested in Jesse Edwards and Caden Shedrick and some guys at the five that could help them. Definitely, if Hawkins doesn't return, they'd like to add a front court piece. And then in particular, someone with length, because outside of, like, Coleman is, what, 6'10", in that range. If you don't return him, the tallest guy on your roster is going to be 6'9". And while, I mean, Dane has a 7'3 wingspan, he can play a little bit bigger than that traditional 6'9", but I think you'd like a rim protector, ideally, if you could possibly get it. I know someone that they've been familiar with in the past, Adrame Dianga from Washington State. He was at Arizona Compass Prep with Colin Boswell, actually, when they were recruiting him. He's in the portal after 1 year, shot blocker, long, skinny, athletic type of rim roller. I think they'll be in the mix for him. And some other names, we'll have to see. I think not a five, but Arthur Kaluma was another guy that they've recruited in the past. He's not a five. He's more of a four. Could you make that fit work? Could you play maybe, all right, we're going to play Dane, obviously, at the five. Maybe Guerrier plays more so small ball five. You slot in Kaluma as a four. He's really talented. I mean, going through the NBA combine right now, I wonder about how you'd sell that to him with I mean, Domask is a potential 3/4. Ty Rogers, potential 3/4. Do you have too much overcrowding there at that potential position? But there's no doubt that they would want a front court piece if Hawkins doesn't come back. Of course, their main goal right now is for Hawkins to be that guy.
Yeah. There's a lot that has to play out here, Derek. And I think the sooner we get the answers, the better for this Illini fan base, because there's a lot riding on these decisions. And we wait and we talk through these potential scenarios, but these people have to make their decisions. So big couple weeks for Illinois.
It's no off season. It's fun, though. I mean,
it's been 2 months of this, and Illinois fans, I think they enjoy this. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, building a roster like this is, I find, fascinating and entertaining, but there's a lot of stress that goes along with it, and I think Illinois fans are ready to know what their 23-24 roster is going to be, for better or worse.
Right. I mean, it's a good problem to have as far as Shannon and Hawkins. Like, there's a long stretch where the NBA wasn't too interested in what Illinois had there in Champaign on their roster. So if Hawkins stays in the draft, I think, I mean, the narrative's out there, and I fully agree with it. Like, taking a 3-star out of high school, developing him to the point of being a draft-worthy prospect, that's a feather in your cap. Terrence Shannon wanted to come and boost his NBA stock and be in a better position. If that happened, if he had the – I mean, he was – I think for the coaches, he's a first-team All-Big Ten guy and had a pretty darn good year, led you in scoring. If he then decides to jump, it helps you. Now, I understand part of what you really want is the consistency with your team production. Last year was a disappointment, and then it'd be hard with following that up if you, at the very end of it, lose Terrence and Hawkins. Like, then all of a sudden you're not in that same position to compete the following year. That would be disappointing, but yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, and that part of it has to still play out. And then obviously Ray J, I don't know. The Utah thing, I wouldn't worry too much about it, but it's obvious that he's checking things out, and it makes sense, like we talked about. Yeah. But Illinois could really use that one. I don't want to say it's a, you know, their season rides on Reggie Dennis or not, but they need him.
Chris, good way to end this. We're thirsty. Yeah. Yeah, you are, and I understand it. All right, thanks to everybody for listening on our podcast. Give us a like, follow, rating, review, wherever you get those. Thanks to our live YouTube listeners. Thank you, guys. More than 250 people at one point on the live stream. Hit the like button on the way out. That really helps us out. Subscribe to the Illini Inquirer podcast if you don't already on YouTube. And you know, hit that notifications bell as well. Derek Piper, thanks for the insight. As always, we'll rendezvous next week and see if we have any movement on this front.
I'm sure there will be some kind. But yeah, fun as always, man. Talk next time.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Have a great day. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.